Blog Talk Radio.
They had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer said, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people mm-hmm. do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. The next thing, the three-part policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And, of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he has talked about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this. That it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was the strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Father Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of a great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert, three capacities. plane, the master's grain plane, for harvesting the nations, for harvesting the multitude of the earth into his cause, just before the close of the great controversy between the forces of good and evil. It's going to be done in a unique manner. This grain plane is going to take people are going to eat the stuff, because it says spirits, demon spirits, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets in the galaxies that are coming to warn the inhabitants of planet Earth of the impending destruction of the planet unless something seriously proper is done to avoid it.
Heart and core of all these secret societies lurks the Kabbalah. It is a method of encoding information through a system of mathematics and numbers. These people that belong to the secret societies never dared to write down in any language what they knew, what it was that they were guarding, because then someone could steal it and then the secret would be out. So they took this knowledge and they made it occult through a system of encoding encryption, one of which is mathematics, numbers. Another is architecture. Anybody wonder why do they have a fraternal organization called the Freemasons? Aren't those the guys that build walls? You bet they do. But every wall they build contains the secrets that have been kept and maintained throughout the ages, and it's encoded in the architecture and in the measurements of the buildings and in the mathematical formulas used to derive the geometry, the shape, the length and breadth and height of rooms, all encoded there.
I think we're at a very special time, because Now, when I started out 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, it was a lonely road. I mean, anyone who's been in this road a long time knows that there weren't many interested people that long ago. Are you on the ground? And now, suddenly, this cusp moment where we're getting towards a critical mass of people where the waters are starting to break. And I think two things are happening. First of all, the endless toil and effort, apparently against all the odds, banging your head against a wall year after year, decade after decade, eventually we've seen a point now where the wall is starting to show cracks in it. We're starting to get this information out to enough people so that they can see that the world is very much different to what they thought it was. But there's something else happening, which I think is just as important in a way and interacts with that. And that is that this agenda has now reached the point where it's not in the shadows anymore in terms of the way it's playing out. It's still in the shadows in the deep inner sanctum that's orchestrating it, but in the way it's playing out, in the banking crash, in austerity, where there's been this fantastic transfer of wealth from the people through governments to banks and the elite, and after Cyprus now they've started to actually take the government out of that equation and go straight into people's bank accounts. All these things are coming together to get people to look at the world in a different way. People are seeing the world and they're thinking, what's happening? I don't like what's going on. This is happening, that's happening, what's going on? Fortunately, after all these years of effort, there is now a massive alternative media that actually has the ability, which is what's going on, to say to people in that state, this is why it's happening. And it's making sense to people. It's making sense of the world to people that the normal mainstream explanations of everything are not making. And this combination of people's life experience and the information explaining the world in a different way, this is coming together in a way that is really starting to break the waters. And this weekend is so symbolic for me. You know, we've all been chasing and trying to expose the Bilderberg Group for a very long time, decades, when people said it didn't exist and it didn't matter even if it did. And the mainstream media didn't touch it, you never saw it mentioned, these people were meeting in different parts of the world and the mainstream media wasn't mentioning it. And now in Britain, in 2013, we have seen the biggest mainstream exposure of Bilderberg in history. And we're not finished yet. There's 2 days to go. And the genie is out of the bottle, and it ain't going back. Because once you start to realize, and it's new to you, that actually these people who are making decisions about where the direction of everybody's lives on the planet are going, and they're meeting in secret with the corporations and the banks and the inner sanctum of the elite in a hotel in secret, and we're not allowed to know what they're officially what they're discussing and all the rest of it. This has been a bloody revelation to people who are new to this, and it's happened because this has gone into the mainstream for the first time.
It's a great company. It's the discovery of the shadow government.
Yeah. You know, what we've been talking about all these years, that actually, if you go high enough, there's only one oil company, there's only one biotech company, there's only one big pharma company. In the end, there's only one political party in terms of major political parties in every country. That's kind of been, that's over the top, that's exaggeration. But here we have, in Watford, on the outskirts of London, the proof of that in the sense of these different elements, which in any so-called democratic society should be kept apart from everybody, and if there are discussions going on and what have you, they should be in public. Now it's in the open and in the mainstream media. not the big picture of why it's happening, but the fact that it is happening. And this is opening so many people's eyes to the fact that this hidden hand is not a myth, it's the truth. It's a great weekend, it's a pivotal weekend, and it's a weekend we'll look back at and say, yeah, you can put your finger on that. That was the time that the change and the transformation became obvious.
Again, David Icke is our guest in studio in our hotel room, our makeshift studio in Watford, England. And I've got a bunch of questions for David. We're going to break here in a few minutes. We can get started with these now. But I wanted you to repeat what you said when you first got there and gave kind of an impromptu speech. Whenever I made the point that they want us poor. I mean, they write documents, they say that, but still the general public, I don't think, gets why they want us poor. So, David, we got about 2 minutes to break. Describe why they want us poor.
Well, if anyone's seen the movie The Hunger Games, where you had a tiny elite in what they call the capital, in high-tech, mega luxury, and the rest of the population in the country was in mega poverty. And what they want, you know, people talk all the time, and so they should, about the attack on the middle class in America. Well, this attack on what we call the middle class is slightly different meaning, but in this country too. And the reason that that's being targeted is because if you have a middle class as was, you have a graph which goes from poor up to rich. If you look at the graph now, I saw one the other
Skip
day.
Skip this network break. We're skipping the break. Go.
I saw one the other day on an official mainstream website in America, and it went like this. Poor, middle class, hardly much movement, and then straight up. And the straight up was 1%, and it was so big that they had to put the top of that pyramid next to it to get it on the page. And we're already getting there. And so this is the society they want. And for me, when you're researching something, knowing what the end is and knowing the means of manipulation to get there are absolutely crucial to understanding the game. And what they want is a mega, mega rich. I mean, it's become known as the 1%. It's probably much less than that if you get the mega, mega rich. Right up there, mountain high, and then a mega poor population that's basically in the same boat. And this is why I say to people, and just very quickly, this is why the Cyprus thing was set as a precedent to go directly, not through governments, to go directly into the bank accounts.
You walk through the bailouts. Explain how they do it. First, it's too big to fail. They sign you onto that. Then explain it.
Well, what they did in 2008 was they crashed the economic system on purpose, problem, reaction, solution. They then started this incredible transfer of wealth for the reasons I'm just talking about, from the people to the banks and the elite via governments. What they did in doing that was transfer the problem from a banking crisis into a government debt crisis. This was then passed on from the governments to the people. It became now a people crisis on the basis of the austerity programs all over the world. Oh, no, we bailed out the banks, so we haven't got the money for all these services, so austerity. So there's a massive transfer of wealth from the people to the elite, with the people suffering and no one else. Then you move to Cyprus to the next stage of this, when instead of going stealing the wealth of the people via governments to the elite and the banking system, they went direct into the banks, bank accounts of the people. A lot of them who were very rich in Cyprus bank accounts, who are a lot less richer now, direct to their accounts. And what this is doing is setting the precedent to do it all over the world, because when there's another banking crisis, and there's so many planned for this very reason.
This was a little bitty baby beta test.
what it was, Alex, especially in Europe and in the European Union, it was setting the precedent. Precedent is a powerful, powerful thing to set, because when the next banking crisis comes and there's a problem and they've got to bail out the bank and all the rest of it, they're now going to say, well, hold on a second, governments are going to say this, and the European Union's going to say this. We can't justify bailing out the banks. What about the people in Cyprus? We can't just let people go straight to their bank accounts and not do it here. And that's the idea. And so I'll say this to people around the world who at the moment think they're well off and at the moment think that this does not affect them and it's not your problem. If you are not a member of this elite, of the elite, if you are not a member of this upper echelon of this 1%, then they want your money too, and they're coming for it. And this precedent set in Cyprus is a massive step towards that. They want you as poor as the people you think, well, they're poor, they're not my problem. The idea is to make it your problem, and therefore we have to come together and put down the fault lines of income bracket and so-called class. We're in this together because they want us all mega-poor, not just the currently mega-poor.
That's right. It is a total tool of political control, and they write books about it. Whether it's Henry Kissinger and his Memorandum 200, or whether it's the science czar, John B. Aldrin, or Agenda 21, they say they want a post-industrial world where they're in these government and corporate and university reservations. They're above the law. They get the life extension technology. They get it all. And that's only the next phase. In fact, where did that newspaper go that I had? Here it is, right here, David. This is what I want to talk to you about next. And we'll get back into Bilderberg. We'll get back into, is this really the beginning of the fall of Bilderberg? I also see a key line we may be passing where, okay, we have the awakening, but if people don't do something, then it just kind of sets a precedent that, okay, we accept that.
Yeah.
So I want to discuss that with you. I've got a bunch of points I want to go over, but the London Independent, and you look at the cover of it today, half of Britons alive in 2020 will get cancer. And they're now saying the next few years, half of Americans will have diabetes. And in the rats and all the studies and all, we know what the vaccines, we know what the GMO, we know what the sodium fluoride, we know what it's doing. And then the globalists write books from Bertrand Russell to John P. Holdren currently. They get caught all over the world giving little kids SV40 cancer virus. They know what they're doing, and they're just getting us all used to everybody's got cancer, everybody's got Parkinson's early, everybody's got neurological disorders, everybody's got diseases, everybody's got problems. And then, don't worry, we've got treatments for the disease you've now got. And then, let's, you know, never mind that breast cancer's up 3,000% or children's cancer is up over 10,000%. And again, America and England lead the world because we're run by these eugenicists. Hitler was their man. He just went a little bit early and only after specific groups. They're going after the whole world in a scientific program. And it just hits me that, of course, I'm not worried about them killing me, or I'm not worried about being shut down, I'm not worried about being sued or any of this, because I've read their own words. I know how diabolical it is. I know I'm living in the equivalent of a science fiction nightmare. They want the whole world and our numbers reduced by at least 80%. They're on record. They're on record doing secret experiments against us all over the world. We know the people running our countries are the most wicked people on the earth. We know they're funding Al-Qaeda and using them on innocent countries like Libya and Syria. We know they're spying on us without warrants. We now know they're criminal. What we've all said, unfortunately, is all being confirmed. And it's bizarre now to have people really listening to us because, you know, now there's that much more responsibility. But what about the fact that this attack is so over the top, David Icke, that's what they almost have over on us, is that it's so diabolical, so crazy, so evil, that, yeah, people can finally get they're spying on you without warrants. They can finally get that they're taking poor people's tax money and giving it to offshore billionaires that control trillions who want their money to be worth more by bankrupting you so they can buy it for pennies on the dollar. They're replacing humans with robots at Foxconn factories and saying, good, go jump off the roof. I mean, we are already in the middle of just insane times. How much more crazy will it get, and how does this cancer situation tie into it all? Will people sit there and watch their families die, David Icke, and not care about the globalists doing it to them?
I've said for so many years, one of the greatest ways of suppressing a population is to suppress their sense of the possible. If you could suppress their sense of what is possible by hiding technology, by hiding the agenda, by hiding the cause of all these things you're talking about, then people will sit there like a frog sitting in a boiling water, and they will get boiled because they can't see the possibility that actually they might get boiled, or even that they're in the process of being so. And so it's the biggest, and this is the mainstream media. The mainstream media's range of what is possible is so minute, and this then is transferred by people getting most of their information through the mainstream media to the population. What is so brilliant about this Bilderberg weekend, as it's turned out, is Bilderberg is it's a part of the web, and it's part of the agenda that people can use to enter the web in terms of understanding it, because it's at a level that they can deal with. It's politicians and corporations, chiefs and what have you.
Like a lobby.
Yeah, meeting together in secret, and it's like, what's going on? But the Bilderberg group is merely a strand in the web, and it's well out from the center, the spider. And if you go back from the Bilderberg group towards the spider, the closer you get, the more evil, the more satanic, the more secretive and exclusive these strands in the web become. You go that way from the Bilderberg group into mainstream society, and you're going into governments and departments and corporations where the same agreed agenda plays out.
Absolutely, extremely powerful with David Icke. I want to come back and talk about what is at the core of the spider, and how you said that Savelle at the BBC was basically a pedophile years ago. You laid all this out, and I would hear this 17 years ago, and I'd go, he says a lot of good stuff, but I can't buy this. And then it all just keeps coming true. How did you know all this? I guess you worked there. We're going to talk to David Icke and more. Straight ahead, he'll be with you the next hour for some. Take your phone calls, and he'll meet his son. Stay with us.
As we saw in Katrina, and as we are watching now in New York and New Jersey, the federal government can't and won't help you in a crisis. FEMA ran out of water and MREs in days. Electricity is still off to over 1 million people. The Red Cross, who is quick to beg for money, is now slow to react. Don't put it off any longer. Get prepared today while you're on InfoWarsShop.com. Check out these other great preparedness items. The Aquapod Kit lets you store up to 65 gallons of water in your bathtub. Pocket Socket provides you with manual electricity for small electronics like your cell phone. The Life Straw is great for your bug out bag. And check out our complete line of inner food products for great tasting and nutritionally dense foods that have a great shelf life. If you are looking to secure your home in a crisis, you can order Strategic Relocations, the film, a great companion to the book Strategic Relocations, 3rd edition, and The Secure Home by Joel Skousen. When the time to perform arrives, the time to prepare has already passed. Get prepared now, so if a crisis strikes your home, you and your family will be secure. Go to InfoWarsShop.com.
When I was talking to David about this anti-human agenda and why are every major institution in the world, whether it's Russia or China or England or the U.S., Catholic Church or the BBC, or why is it pedophiles and necrophiliacs and devil worshippers? I mean, I never get sick of my wife. I never get sick of a glass of red wine. I never get sick of enchiladas. I never get sick of a sunrise or sunset. I never get tired of just green grass, good stuff, paddling in a kayak down the river. I do not get how they're so into this, and that's why they win. What you were talking about is that
they've shrunk the possible, so we're so naive. Dave and I, you can say what you want about him. That's what I realized about 15 years ago. This guy is nothing but positive. He expands your window and forces you with things that sound so radical, whether he's completely right or not. None of us are perfect. We see through rose-colored glasses. David Icke forces you to expand the window of perception of the possible. Because I would hear him talk about the BBC's full of pedophiles, and they have sex with dead bodies, and they drink blood. And Al Gore drinks blood, and then I actually found the article where he falls around with bags of blood in case he's injured. And then I found out more about him. These people are just given over. They are psychopaths with air forces. They are devil worshippers with nuclear weapons. And look at history. We know all the ancient emperors in Rome and the Aztecs were all crazy nuts. So, of course, these are 21st century versions of that. So get into that and the cancer rates exploding and what they're doing and what their master plan is, and then more in Bilderberg, what this means that we forced it out in the open and that crossroads we're at, David Icke.
Well, all these things come together in the end. I mean, the more you research and the more you understand, the more every dot connects. And what I was saying a few minutes ago about the greatest, defenses that this conspiracy has is suppressing the sense of the possible, and the media are constantly doing that. And yes, this is a great weekend, fantastic, and I hope as many people come here as can get here tomorrow as possible. And it's a way of entering the web in a way that people can understand and appreciate within their view of the world. Within the blinkers that we're, you know, manipulating to wear all our lives. But I say this to you, this is a way of entering the web, and it's a very significant strand in the web. But to understand the Bilderberg Group's part in all this, and to understand the web itself, all preconceived idea since the day you were born, all belief systems, all senses of the impossible just have to be allowed to fall. And let information be your guide, not preconceived idea, belief, which senses where you will go and what you will consider to be possible. Because the Bilderberg Group is a strand within a satanic conspiracy that is so deep, so evil, so completely beyond what we would perceive as any form of humanity or heart or compassion or any of it, empathy, that we really do have to open our minds to let in the truth of what we're facing. And that's not to be frightened, that's not to be scared of it. This evil only prospers because it has put us in a tiny box of perception, understanding, and ignorance of the world we live in and the reality we're experiencing. If it was all-powerful, it would not have to do that. And if we open our minds, open our hearts, and let our minds expand where they want to go rather than holding them in the position that we're programmed to hold them, then together, this is a house of cards that we're looking at. This all-powerful evil. No, it's a house of cards, and it's absolutely dependent for its survival on humanity, on mass staying asleep. So it's not something to fear. It is something to face. And so anyone that's coming in now and seeing this, Bilderberg, oh my goodness, what they meet in secret, oh, I didn't know that was going on. Well, strap in, because that's the start of the journey through the web. Because, you know, what Alex was talking about is what is actually unfolding in front of our eyes. There is a mass operation, not coming, not somewhere over the rainbow, sometime never, that is happening in our lives now, which is to create a massive, massive cull of the population. And this is not something where large numbers of people suddenly just keel over, because people are going, hey, what's happening? This is a cumulative destroying of the human immune system and a war on the human body and the human mind. And it's being done because of the web, the spider at the center of the web, therefore controls the policy of corporations, biotech corporations like Monsanto, that are producing the GM foods which are genetically modifying us. The same spider is controlling the pharmaceutical industry, which is destroying the immune system and a war with the body through pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines. And it, the same spider is controlling the network of mega parasites that we call the banking system. That same spider is dictating through the web to government to introduce the agenda that the spider is dictating. This is a major part of what Bilderberg does in this interface between the hidden and the world that we see. So it's time not just to recognize what the Bilderberg group is, but what a great moment that people are now seeing it in such numbers, but to make that the first step, because this spider's web, this rabbit hole, whatever analogy you want, is so deep, and we need to face it so we can sort it out, and therefore all impossibles must be off if we're going to understand what's really happening.
Absolutely. I meant to do this today, and I forgot to tell the crew. If they can search engine this Charlie Skelton article that was linked up on Infowars.com, but if they just search Bilderberg 2013, Friendly Policeman, A Press Zone, and The One Show, if they'll just search one of Charlie Skelton's, or just go to Charlie Skelton's articles on The Guardian and go to Bilderberg 2013, Friendly Policeman, A Press Zone, and The One Show. And myself and Leanne McAdoo were over there taking photos while the crew was doing video interviews as the globalists drove in yesterday. And we both missed the shot, but I saw it with my eye. And I missed that. And then I looked over and another came by. It's hard when they're driving by fast to catch it, but one spot you can get a shot. They were all driving by, because I saw this three times, and thank God somebody caught it. They caught it on multiple cars. They would drive by with Daily Mails, because the first time I saw it, I said, that's just got to be a coincidence. A second time, a third time. Now, maybe the Mercedes cab company said, here, cover your face with this, but it's the image of them covering their faces, and they don't have to end windows with a tabloid magazine, a newspaper. They would drive by with newspapers over their faces, and there's a photo of this. Again, Bilderberg 2013, Friendly Policeman. Just search engine that, folks. Click news, and you'll get it. Bilderberg 2013, Friendly Policeman. Did the office, were you guys able to find that yet? Okay, they're showing it right now on screen, David. Look at this. Now, because again, I wasn't up there even much of the time. A bunch of them came in at once, so I was sitting there. And I saw it once. I said, did we get that? No, no, it's blurred. Oh, this guy got it. Okay, did we get that? Yeah, finally, they went three times. Three cars went by with the Daily Mail tabloid up with the words, child porn teacher allowed back in classroom. Why would they drive by with a tabloid saying child porn when you've been exposing Savelle and the royal family and all this? What is really going on here, David Icke?
Noticed that this morning before I left home to come up here. I saw one of those pictures and I thought, well, what an appropriate bloody headline to cover your face with. You know, we chatted about
this. There's a lot of irony.
Yeah. We chatted about this in America. We've been in America for a time. One of the things that we... can you hear me all right? One of the things that I'm talking about when I say we have to expand our sense of the possible is that this web... in the end, is being orchestrated from beyond human sight by a force that is anything but human. And the rituals, the satanic rituals to the gods that these people are so into and constantly into, the gods are these entities that are operating outside human sight, which are orchestrating this agenda. Now, I know people that...
Well, why drive through covering your face saying child porn?
Well, I mean, in many ways, it's just literally putting... He's putting it over his face, but he's putting it in ours, isn't he? But the thing is that the reason they're so into Satanism and so into pedophilia is because these entities feed off human energy.
Satan is killed because they're losing power.
They're feeding off human energy. They're feeding off fear. This is why they've created a structure in human society that is a global factory of fear and anxiety.
Death.
They feed off death. That's part of all of it.
We're the good guys. We torture and bomb for peace.
And this is the point about paedophilia. I've been researching this a very, very long time because I've just gone where the music took me or the information and not let preconceived idea block me. And I don't care what people think about me, so it's not made me keep my mouth shut through fear of being ridiculed. I'm quite used to that, funnily enough. But I've been researching this a long time in multiple countries, and I'll tell you this. The energy that these entities want more than anything else is a child's energy before puberty, when changes happen at which take it beyond perfection for them. It's a nectar to them. And so what's happening when the paedophile is having sex with the child? The paedophile is the conduit by the possessing entity, because all these people are bloody possessed by these
vampires.
Yes. And you know, this is why the whole stories of vampires, this is why the British royal family like Charles go back to Vlad the Impaler. They're intergenerational bloodline vampires. They feed off, and people think of, you know, drinking blood, and that's true, but it's energy.
By the way, I heard you like 15 years ago talk about that. I thought that's pure bull, and now it's all over the news that he lives in Transylvania and is basically a Dracul.
Yes, but you know, people think of vampires. They feed off blood. Yes, true. That is true. But the major thing they feed on, and often blood is just an expression of that, is energy. And so they're looking for the energy of children. And this is why you find this dramatic ratio of paedophiles and Satanists in the so-called upper echelon of society compared with the general population, because these particular bloodlines are systematically possessed through the rituals, this is how it's done, to become conduits in this reality for that which is controlling them from another reality. So while all these people are having, you know, their sex with children, they are conduits for feeding these entities that energy. That's why paedophilia is everywhere. And what Jimmy Savile was doing, Alex, people in this country, the stories are broken. Old Savile was a record-breaking paedophile. And what they've done, the media, sometimes through pressure and fear of the consequences, but actually the authorities and the police have done, is hold that position. Savile was a record-breaking paedophile. The dike they don't want to break and they're desperately holding on to is that's part of the story, but only part.
He was Renfield. He was supplying them.
He was supplying politicians like Ted Heath, the man I exposed as a Satanist and child killer 7 years before he died in a book. It was read to him, the passage was read days after it was published in 1997-98, and he had 7 years to do something about it, and he never did anything about it. Why? Because it was true. Savile was also brought into the inner sanctum of the British royal family.
They don't just like this, that's such a trust.
Oh, they do all. Well, that was a speciality of Heath, yeah.
Stay there. We're going to go to break right now, folks. All I can tell you is from my study, they're all into this, whether it's demons or whatever that are running them doing it. Christians say it's demons. He says it's something else. And
all the same thing.
All the same thing. The same thing.
Hi, Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources. With over 30 years of experience in the precious metals business, I can tell you without a doubt, we are facing the most dangerous and volatile times, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Peace of mind is gold and silver. Now is the time to invest in gold. When it comes to bullion coins, our prices are competitive and the closest to melt. If it's numismatics you're looking for, we have some of the best deals out there. Visit MidasResources.com today or go to Infowars.com and click on the link link to see our daily specials. Here's an example of one of our long-term specials we've been offering for more than a year. Two silver dollars from the turn of the last century, plus two powerful films, The Obama Deception and The American Dream. We also add in the book Dishonest Money, all for $72 and free shipping. The most trusted name in precious metals is Midas Resources. Call 1-800-686-2237 or go to InfoWars.com. I'm Ted Anderson with Midas Resources.
We are now only entering the edge of a global financial superstorm, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Here in the United States, the private Federal Reserve is giving more than $85 billion of taxpayer money a month to themselves and other offshore foreign banks. And the worst part is, we have to pay the bank's interest on the money we give them. There is now a race between the global central bank mafia cartels to see who can devalue their country's currencies the fastest. We are already seeing big increases in inflation at the grocery store and the gas line. This will eventually lead to hyperinflation. More than a dozen top globalists like George Soros have been buying record amounts of gold while at the same time bad-mouthing it to the public. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they do. For more than 6,000 years of recorded human history, gold has been the ultimate hedge against uncertain times and inflation. Before investing in metals, it is important to do your own research and find a reputable company. Midas Resources has the highest Better Business Bureau rating of an A+. Unfortunately, very few precious metal companies can boast that. Midas Resources has assembled one of the most educated, researched, and professional teams of brokers in the industry. The evidence is overwhelming. In uncertain times, gold and silver is safe harbor. Now is the time to invest in gold. Call 800-686-2237, and Midas Resources will mail you 10 reasons to own gold absolutely free. No shipping. It's absolutely free. And finally, Ted Anderson wants to challenge you to find any deal that comes close to his two silver dollars at cost with free shipping, with two free films and a book for $72. That's more than $160 value, or $72 shipping included. Click the link at InfoWars.com or go to the MidasResources.com specials page. Brought to you by MidasResources.com and Ted Anderson, the trusted name in precious metals.
Into the next hour, and David Icke's going to be here with us. We're going to have his son, who works on the side and is really an informed person as well, joining us here on the broadcast. And I just want to be clear about this. I've had the biggest shows on BBC, Sky Television, you name it, call us, and they want us to come into town and, you know, be on their shows, and we may do that. But the point is that they would kill before not to admit Bilderberg even existed. And, of course, we're like, here it exists, here's their minutes, here's declassified documents, the CIA helped set it up. It was a Hitler plan to put the whole of Europe under an economic dictatorship, the EU. Here's the name of it. I talked to the member of the EU Parliament. We heard that in the first hour, who exposed it. That's what's so frustrating is that I know the Federal Reserve is private. I read their charter. You can read it right now. It's public. You go to the Library of Congress and read it, not just online. I know the Bilderberg Group was founded in 1954, but was actually around before that. I've had National Archive documents leaked to me. WikiLeaks has got them, but a lot of it's public. And the media sits there going, you believe it exists. BBC still tried that. The other media knew the jig was up, but they know they're lying to their viewers. It's about hearing, well, it doesn't exist, but I know it exists to make you feel small. It's about keeping that idea small. So whether it's demons, whatever it is, I can't prove any of that. I know that you don't get into these upper echelons of the elite unless you are into devil worship, hurting children. And I know every culture ends up being run by an elite that does that when no one I know acts like that or believes like that. So regardless of what runs, regardless, it's going on. And David Icke, how did you discover, you know, all of this? Because you said you went to, I think it was Peru, by some standing stones and had a vision. And, you know, I don't get into New Age type stuff. I don't even believe in all that. I went to Stonehenge and walked across a line thinking, oh, this is boring, and instantly felt energized. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to you on the show before about the fact that, you know, this reality is a projection from an energetic information blueprint, a bit like wireless internet.
And you believe that scientists have found now that it's a computer program,
yeah,
that's the hack.
Yeah, that's the hack. But the thing is that the energy
energy that you felt, and see, the Earth has an energy field. We all know that. Everyone accepts that. But it is interpenetrated with a network of lines. They're known in Britain as ley lines or meridian lines. These are lines of force. Now, where many of these lines cross, think of it as a web. It literally is a web of energy, electromagnetic energy. So where lots of them cross...
That's how they're navigating.
Yeah, well, yeah, these are the electromagnetic...
I mean, it's now been proven that we all have these cells in our brain.
Yeah, these are the electromagnetic fields that they use to navigate. And so many other things happen that are called paranormal. The scientists, Stonehenge is a good one. Stonehenge is where the bloody scientists ought to be. That's where their minds are in terms of, understanding reality as it really is. But the scientists kind of dismiss that. So they're going, this is a mystery. But when you understand you've got this unifying field which unifies everything, suddenly the paranormal becomes perfectly bloody logical. But where lots of these lines cross, a massive vortex of energy is created. And if you do things in that vortex, you affect the Earth's energy field in a much more powerful way.
I thought it was a joke, had forgotten it was on the phone and walked across a line, and they kept going back, and my whole crew felt it.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing...
Have you been there?
Loads of times. This is something I researched at great length years ago, and it's not New Age. Some people who do it, you call themselves New Age. What it is simply understanding reality on a level that mainstream science does not understand. It does not want to understand. Why? Because it's controlled by the same network, and the last thing that network wants the target population to do is understand the nature of the reality it's experienced.
That's right. Going to break back in 60 seconds, and by the way, I did look it up. Guess what the Grove's on? The very same ley line.
Vicari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro Filter Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab-and-go-back favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I really know him well, and I did over the phone, talking to him for like 15 years on air, but David Icke is here in studio in Watford, England. People say Watford is some working class area. The Grove is incredibly beautiful, and it's got bizarre skeleton art all over it, and people being absorbed, losing their humanity, becoming machines. This is a short segment, David. We're in a bunch of world news with you in the next segment, but you were starting to get into the royal family. They're constantly digging up dead bodies on that property. Diana put out a ledger and a video saying Charles will kill me in a fake auto accident. He told me he would. Then you have all of that. You have all this bizarreness where only the queen can eat swans. No one else can. I mean, it's just blaringly obvious that you've got a criminal group of psychos in control, whatever they are, just getting away with bloody murder. How is it going for them?
Well, it's not going for them like it was, because people are becoming more and more irreverent. I mean, I've had a stomach condition for the last, 60 years of my life, which gets me nauseous and wanting to throw up. And it's funny, because every time I see the royal family doing one of their public rituals, that's when I get it. You know what I mean? And
it's about worshipping them.
Yes, they want to be worshipped. The other thing, you can't turn your back on the Queen. I wish I met her. You watch me. It's this this reverence they have, and we need to get irreverent with this system and not kind of bow to it, which is what they want. But what I was saying earlier, Jimmy Savile, child procurer to the elite, he was procuring children for Ted Heath
on his yacht, Morning Cloud, from the now infamous children's home on Jersey. But he was, by his own words, introduced. This the guy's a disc jockey. And in the end, he wasn't even that. But he, in his own words, he was introduced into the inner sanctum of the royal family by Lord Mountbatten in the 1960s, the mentor of Prince Philip and Prince Charles, and...
he said to do favors, I can get them things.
Yeah, Mountbatten is a known paedophile. I mean, he was involved in paedophilia at places like the King Cora Boys Home in Belfast and what have you. And you ask this question. Media, ask yourself this question. What is an aging disc jockey doing in the inner sanctum of the royal family? So close that by his own words, and I know this from other sources who were very close friends of Princess Diana for 9 years before she died, that he was asked by them to be the go-between and the mediator between Diana and Charles when their marriage was breaking down. What's going on? And I'll tell you how I knew about Savile. This is a very, very interesting story. In 1997-98, I was asked to go to a little meeting at the House of Lords. I'd never even been into the House of Lords. I don't know what I was going into. And it was just a small group of people. And we just had a chat in the afternoon. But there was somebody there who wasn't from the House of Lords. She was saying some very interesting things about the death of Princess Diana. It was about 98, not long after it happened. And I called her over afterwards. I said, how do you know all that? And she says, well, my best friend was the best friend of Diana for 9 years. And they fell out about 2 years before Diana died. She said, I think she'll talk to you. A few weeks later, or days later, she arrives on the island where I live. And I've got all this on tape. It's still at home on tape. And she told me about
that.
Yeah, it's on one of those old tapes. But this is the point. What she told me in 1998... was the way that the royal family treated Diana. But Jimmy Savile was on the inner sanctum of the royal family, and Princess Diana called him a sleazebag. And that he was a necrophiliac and...
Hold on, well, I want to repeat all this and get the rest when we come back from break. This is too powerful. And you're going to hear this type of stuff because I'm the craziest man in America, crazy like a fox, to put the truth on the air. It's all come out, the necrophilia, everything. Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. That's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers: the Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices, waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. We will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
We got David Icke here, meeting him in person for the first time ever, in the middle of just a globalist political bloodbath. You've got the New York Times saying Obama, let me get the exact headline, can no longer lead. He is completely discredited. And again, that supposes the paper of record. He's just a puppet now they're trying to discard. They think he can't get any more of an agenda through for him. You've got David Cameron, the Prime Minister, going to Bilderberg. I've never seen a President or Prime Minister during an event go to it. Because they're like, fine, we're exposed. Bring him in publicly. Because we've been there when Presidents or Prime Ministers show up secretly and then our inside moles tell us. I want to get back to the royal family and tell a story here, David Icke. But we predicted that they would go quasi-public. Plus, I had some sources in the U.S. Senate, also in Hollywood. Then I talked to the big BBC guy, John Sargent, the big political reporter. And he basically was admitted to... he was admitted into the facility. I wasn't allowed to say it completely, so he kind of halfway said, well, one of us is, and said, I'm going to enjoy my fancy special lunch today, and he was getting all excited about it. So hard to keep all these sources straight. The point is that they wanted to remain secret because what they're doing is illegal, setting policy. Now it's out in the open. What does it mean to have David Cameron go there?
Well, they're on a massive damage limitation operation now because... The coverage, the understanding of its existence and what goes on there means that although, you know, even people on the BBC can still go, oh, no, all that stuff, never mind. You see, this is where we are, Alex. We're at a point now where great tracts of the public, the awakening public, are far more informed about the world and what's going on than the flipping journalists on the BBC, etc. You know, they're still in the land of the bewildered.
She was telling me it didn't exist. You know, does she know what a buffoon? I mean, or is she trying to put people back in the box?
Well, you know, I think from my experience within the BBC is don't, and you know...
You were a national TV host.
Yeah, and also so many other mainstream journalists, is never underestimate the level of ignorance. See, what you have with journalists is this combination which always kind of hunts in packs or hunts in pairs. It's arrogance and it's ignorance. The ignorance means they don't know their backside from their elbow in terms of what's going on in the world, but the arrogance means that if it was going on, then they would know about it because they're a journalist, and often they're, of course, the last people to know about it.
Jim Tucker admitted that he was arrogant and said, how dare you? There's nothing secret in politics. I'd know about that.
Yeah.
And he set out to expose it.
Yeah, but this is the thing. When you are a journalist and you think that because you're a journalist, you know about it, if it was this big, this is the point, they have no conception of what's happening in the world. What they do is they report dots. I mean, this is coming back to what you said earlier. They will report in The Independent that there's a massive explosion of cancer in Britain. Here, they will report something about vaccines. Here, they will report something about what's going on in politics. Here, they will do something about fluoride in water. What they don't do is bring the dots together so you can see the web, you can see the tapestry. They won't do that. And Bilderberg now are in a point where it's like being caught. You know, when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing in a bedroom or something, and suddenly the door opens and suddenly you're standing up and you're brushing yourself down. Oh, no, nice to see you, nothing's going on. So now they're trying to go, oh, well, yeah, but it don't matter. It doesn't really, but yeah, we exist, yeah, but it don't matter. But the public are ahead of them. This is the point. The public are not going to accept this. They won't take this rubbish anymore on the scale that they have before.
Now, this is very controversial, folks, but everything he's talking about, because I'm a news hound, I know has been in the news. Everything up to the royal family, past that. But, I mean, we'll just get into it.
The royal family?
Well, you wanted to get into...
We're talking
about Savelle, that you exposed a long time ago as a pedophile,
but,
which they admit was like the confidant of all the royals.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is...
A total kook, weirdo, scumbag, nobody, hanging out with him constantly. What's going on?
Yeah. He speaks highly of you, mate. Well, he probably does now, wherever he is. Oh, no. But anyway, what I was talking about...
Well, he just looks like a textbook pedophile.
Yeah, he does. Because he was. What I was saying earlier about this lady I met in 1998, she told me a number of things which later proved to be absolutely true. That was one of them. The rituals, the theory of
Parliament. Yeah.
No, this was the friend of the person I met at Parliament who came to my house and I interviewed her on tape at length. Her name was Christine Fitzgerald. She was a friend of Diana and acknowledged to be so by the media for about 9 years. But what she told me about the rituals and what goes on at places like Balmoral Castle and was just beyond belief, but true. Now, literally sacrificing children, drinking their blood, and all that stuff that they go on.
Hey, I've been told by people that just went to Oxford who are famous, but I can't say their names, that they did devil worship and mass orgies.
Yeah, but it's the norm at that so-called level.
Oh, that's low level.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's far more prevalent than anyone believes. That's the trouble. But the thing is that what she told me was that, first of all, this is 1998, that she was an alternative healer, and Diana used to go to her for healing and stuff like that, because she had nobody else. She was just on her own in the middle of that Adams family, that evil Adams family we call the Windsors. Anyway, what she called friendly people at MI5 were doing, were leaving notes for Diana, knowing that when she came, she could pick them up. And one of these notes, and this is why the Paul Burrell letter about, you know, Diana saying that my husband is going to kill me in a car crash, that didn't surprise me at all. I'd heard about that years before, in the sense of these MI5 notes, some of them were warning Diana that the royal family wanted her dead. Now, anyway, the royal family wouldn't kill people. Well, just hold on a second.
It was strangled twins.
Well, what happened when the marriage of Diana and Charles broke down is that she started having an affair with her bodyguard called Barry Manicky. She was apparently very, very much in love with the fella. Then Barry Manicky dies in a strange motorcycle accident, in which he was basically garroted across the road and pulled off his bike and killed. Now, it was said...
Now here's the headline, Daily Mail, Diana Bodyguard killed for our affair.
Yeah. What the official story was, that it was an accident. Anyway, this is what Christine Fitzgerald told me happened subsequently, sometime later. Diana came into her healing centre, just near Regent's Park in London, in an inconsolable state. She was sobbing, and it took some time to sit her down and calm her down and say, what's going on? Because as she was sobbing, Diana was shouting, they killed him, they killed him, they killed him. And what Diana then said is that earlier that day, hence the response, what she called Prince Charles's senior detective had said to her, because by this time, it's sometime after the death of the bodyguard, she was having an affair with a man now out and accepted in the open, with a guy called Captain James Hewitt. And she said that what had happened is the senior detective of Prince Charles had just said to her that the affair with Hewitt had to end, and if it didn't, he could end up like Barry Manicky, which is the bodyguard that's supposed to have been in an accident. He was telling her they killed her. He also said to her in the same conversation, and don't think that you're not expendable either. And Diana told her the story whereby when she first heard about Manicky, Barry Manicky, was when she was with Charles in a limo being driven to the steps of an airplane, and outside were all the paparazzi. And just as they were about to get out, she said, Charles leaned across and said, "Pity about your friend, wasn't it?" And told her, with a smile on his face and an irony in his voice, that Barry Manicky had just died. And so they killed the guy. That's what happens. And at the same time, and this came out in the public arena as well, James Hewitt was being, he said in his own words, was being warned by what he called a senior member of the royal family that...
And tell folks who that is.
James Hewitt, he was the guy who had the affair later with Diana. And he said publicly that a senior member of the royal family had contacted him and said the affair must end or, in effect, they can't be, they can't say what the consequences would be. In other words, he was being threatened in the same way. The royal family, the Windsors, are an evil intergenerational bloodline with human and non-human DNA and hearts of frickin' stone.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
InfoWars.com.
It's the final segment with David Icke, but we'll have live streams tomorrow night at InfoWars.com/Bilderberg and also DavidIcke.com. They're going to have live streams. Tomorrow's going to have internet problems. And if there's that problem, you can go to our streams, but DavidIcke.com. David wants to speak before me at 5 o'clock. I speak at like 6, but I want him to go longer, so I'll speak at 6:30 or so. I'm just going for 30 minutes. They're at the Grove overlooking where the globalists are meeting. Melina, they're very upset by this. They don't like it, but I drug him in here because I knew he was in the newsletter at YelpRunDavidIcke.com. Gareth Icke, who is David Icke's son. I saw he had the premiere here on our radio show. Buddy, what is it like having a dad like this?
It's interesting. For one thing, it's not regular, but it's good. It's great because it gives me the freedom to try and be myself as well.
Well, you're an accomplished musician. Tell us about some of the work you're doing and your view on Bilderberg.
Well, to be honest, I was a musician for a long time, and I was trying, like all young people do, is to try and break into the industry and try and make it, whatever making it means. And then I found out from the inside just how corrupt and just how bent the whole industry is, which kind of freaked me out a bit, to be honest, because obviously, you know, Dad's been talking about this stuff for a long time, but to actually see it, you know, I was offered £100,000 on my first album to take the album as an advance, based on me changing my surname and saying basically I didn't agree with anything that Dad had ever said. You know, I was offered it there on a plate, obviously told them to stick it up their ass, obviously. But that kind of woke me up a bit, and now, you know, the music industry is so corrupt that all the musicians are, and it's the same at Bilderberg because there's lots of musicians around as well. There's some really, really top-notch musicians that are turning their back on the establishment and on the music industry and doing it on their own.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad for you guys to hang in with me. And usually we don't come on weekends, but God's been probing me to do these things for you, ladies and gentlemen, because we had such an awesome week this week. I wanted to close it with some reiteration on things. And the Bilderberg group, I posted on my site, on my Facebook page, I haven't posted on my site. I gave you guys the list of everybody who was going to be in the Bilderberg meeting that was from the United States. And we actually talked about it on one of my open mic sessions of the individuals. And so this right here is Alex Jones speaking with David Icke about different things. Now, I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to understand, I am not a parrot. I don't sit here and listen to the things that people say and then regurgitate it. You have to understand that, first of all, the reason why I play things like this is for your knowledge and understanding. There was an individual in the group that said that there was so much positivity in the world, negativity in the world, and let's see where it's at. This person said there's a lot of negativity, but you have to understand. He said there's a lot of negativity in the world. And then I replied saying that. But the reason why I play these type of things to you, ladies and gentlemen, like I said before, is one, you must understand the Bible itself. If the Bible, and we've probably gone round and round with that, but I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. You must first understand the Bible. Isaiah, Daniel, and John, Apostle John, Jesus' brother, gave us a glimpse of what is to come in the future. Revelations spills out what is going on currently. For the person who wrote, there's a lot of negativity in this world, I would say to you, yes, there is a lot of negativity. And the reason why there is negativity in the world is because the negativity of the vibrations that we put off. Not only do we put off negative vibrations, but the earth itself, in some places where Alex and David were suggesting certain places, create vortexes of negative energy. Yeah, there is such thing as positive energy. There's always such thing as positive energy and negative energy. And we've talked about this on this show. That's why I said it's so important that we carry ourselves with positivity. We carry ourselves with the thought of Jesus. Because if we live by love and faith, we are generating that positivity. To bring in Alex at David Icker's conversation, talking about the web, this is an extension of the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I talk about on a daily basis, telling you that we first must walk with Jesus, understanding that Jesus is love. But when Jesus comes to fulfill the prophecy of the revelations that was written by John the Apostle, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a very bad time. And those times are what we're going through right now. So people can say whatever they want. That's fine. If they choose to live a life that they will not see or think about what the government is doing, what religion is doing, what anybody, you're going to go and you're going to live your life like a smurf, fine. But when the harsh reality comes and the mark of the beast will come, because it is soon yet to come, things have got to fall in place, but it's soon yet to become. When the mark of the beast comes, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to make a decision. There won't be a happy la-la land for you to go hide in. It's going to be death and chaos. Jesus has already told you this. So we can live our lives like nothing's going on, or we can make other people aware of what's going on and then try to get them to get in the frame of mind. We need to get our souls, our minds, and our bodies in accordance to Jesus Christ. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. What I'm saying is if you don't get yourself straight, nobody on this planet is perfect. But you have to remember, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus. Repent of your sins and love and have faith. I mean, I should have said it the other way around, because that's the first, actually, couple first steps. You love people. Then you have faith. Then you get baptized in the name of Jesus. And then you ask for the remission of your sins. And after that, you go out and you preach the word of Jesus. This show is for the people, by the people. I don't do this show for updates and media. I don't listen. This is not that kind of. We don't do gossip on the show. We don't do nothing. Listen. I keep it 100 to Jesus Christ, and anything out of that, it ain't nothing to talk about. It's really nothing to talk about. So we get all wrapped up in current events by the TV, which we know that the TV is nothing but a propaganda machine on the fleshly side. But not many of you, ladies and gentlemen, know the reason why television was even created in the first place. I've said this on my show before, way back in the past, but I will explain it again. Television was invented by a scientist, and I forgot his name, but I'll look for it, and I'll be able to tell you guys. It was a scientist before the person who actually created television. Basically, the gentleman that was doing that, him and his assistant, which he's the one who made television, were in the occult. And they were trying to find ways to go through dimensions. And I know it may sound a little crazy, a little weird, but if you understand the dimensions of a level, for example, we have all heard of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. We know about the Wicked Witch and what she does. She talks to a mirror. Why does she talk to a mirror? Because the mirror itself is a dimensional transport from whatever that dimension is that is speaking to her. And we know that dimension is not positive. It's a negative dimension. That's why when Ari sings about mirrors, it is definitely a code word for you to back away from that song, because they are trying to reach into the mirror or try to teleport through the mirror or trying to go through a vortex. And this is why we talk about things like this on this show, because we have to understand that we're not only a fleshly beings. Because we know when we did a Bible study a couple days ago, when Daniel prayed to Jesus and the archangel Gabriel came and said, I was coming because once God, Jesus, had heard your prayer come from your mouth, he wanted to send you an answer. But I was detained by the prince of Persia. That was a spiritual warfare going on that we couldn't see. And ladies and gentlemen, blessed believe this spiritual warfare is continuing to go on right now. Do you think that David Icke was talking about the British monarchy right now with the Queen of England and all those people and how they drink blood and sacrifice children before the devil? This stuff is real, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you think they promote vampires and werewolves and it's all blood? Everything's gooey. We got zombies and blood. Because just like Jesus needs blood in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, he needed blood sacrifices, right? But when he came to earth in the human form and gave up the Holy Spirit, that was no longer, the law of sacrifice was no longer. Now, you may say Christians do perform sacramental rituals, which we do, because we do partake of the wine and we do partake of the bread. But that is the symbolism of Jesus. Now, when you think about what the devil requires, he requires sacrifice. Think about the Golden Child. If you haven't listened to my series on the Golden Child, please go back on the archives and look at that. Because in that same movie, it describes to you point by point by point in that movie why blood sacrifice is so important. Eddie Murphy was on the case to find a missing child. End up, the missing child was sold to a gang. the gang said, well, we sold it to this guy, and they used her for blood. Then they had her blood smeared all over the... So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we know that people practice satanic rituals or blood rituals in a lot of different religions. But we're not talking about religion right now. We're talking about the effects and who are being affected by whom. Now, we know that when we talk about principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness in dark places, we know we are talking about these fallen angels, and the fallen angels they control in the flesh. They also bring up the throne, and that's brought up in Hebrews when we're talking about it. It was talking about how there are people who sit on the throne that is controlled by the devil or manipulated by the devil. One point that I did not talk about when we were talking about Daniel the other day was the reason why, and anybody can debate me on this, but what I have come to learn through my studies is that the reason why the fallen angels that are here, they did not have enough power to overcome Satan. Because you have to understand, Satan is so powerful. He is a manipulator. He is everything that God tells us not to do. And so when he came with the smooth talk, And one thing you also have to go through and look, and I forgot what it is. I think it's in Leviticus. But when they talk about the seraphim, right, it's talking about the serpent. And the serpent was still in heaven with the cherubim. So Satan has been around long before some of the angels were even created. So when they are in different positions in the world, because we know this by Daniel, because he said that the prince of Grisha will come to you, but don't trust him. Only trust your prince, who is Michael. So when Gabriel said that, he said first he was going to have to go. He was fighting the prince of Persia. Then Michael came and helped him. Then he said, I'm going to have to go back and continue the fight. But when I leave, the prince of Grisha will surely come, but do not believe him. So we know that there's angels in different regions, ladies and gentlemen. We know there's different regions. Do we see them? No, we do not see them. That's why I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, these fallen angels have no control because they have given their powers up to Satan. That's why they're fallen angels. They had no control of are strong enough power to overcome Satan. So they gave up their power. Satan now controls them, and that's why they're out of heaven. Of course, they fought the angels, because we know that they fought the good angels as well. So my point, bringing it back to the point, is this. We know that the devil requires sacrifices, and we know that at one point in time that Jesus required sacrifices. We also know in Genesis that fallen angels came down to earth and found the women of earth beautiful and slept with them, and they had children named Nephilim. Do you not believe that Nephilim still exist? I cannot say that they do, because I don't have any proof. I can't give you literal proof. But it's in the Bible. So when we watch these movies, and the thing they said about, and one thing I want you to remember this, right before Noah's Ark, specifically, they speak about how these children were of world renown. They were of world renown and lived of a very old age. So when we talk about these... these movies about witches and about these, you know, people who've lived long time and had lots of wisdom and they're ugly looking and all this stuff. Listen, I'm going to suggest, I'm not saying this is factual, but I'm going to suggest that the movie creators, those who are in the movie industry, we know what Hollywood stands for. And if you don't know, Hollywood stands for magic stick. That's what it stands for, magic stick or magic wand, like Harry Potter. Harry is a magical stick. And what it does is psychologically gets us into a trance. And I know I'm taking you all over, but the reality is we have been enchanted in a way to enjoy these movies and become sensitized to blood and gore. Let me ask you a question. Have they ever really made a movie about Jesus? And I know you're going to say, well, yeah, they made Passion of Christ. No. Have they ever portrayed Jesus as Jesus? Because I'm going to do the Passion of Christ and show you, ladies and gentlemen. I love that movie. When it first came out, I cried like a baby. How could they do that to the man of God? But you got to understand that was satanic. My point is this. In almost every scene, when Jesus comes down from praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, from that point on, they continue to show the devil and the Antichrist through the whole thing. They keep showing the devil or the Antichrist. When Judas goes hangs himself, they got demons. And listen. In my Bible, they don't say that the Antichrist or Satan showed up while Jesus was getting whipped with the cat of nine tails. They didn't say that the devil showed up and smiled at Jesus when he got the crown of thorns on his head or the violet coat on him. They didn't say that Jesus was in the crowd. Satan was in the crowd, or the Antichrist was in the crowd when he was demanded to carry the cross until he got to Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, I will continue to show you that these movies depict Jesus, the archangel Michael, and any other angel to be of evil descent. If you haven't heard, listen to my broadcast on Legion, please go back because I specifically talk about that. Now, I want to really clarify something. Once again, this show is about love. This show is about positivity. This show is enlightening you for something that some of you may not know about, but you're kind of on the border with. Listen, if you're on the border, that's fine. That's between you and Jesus. Ain't got nothing to do with me. My job as a messenger, with Jesus has given me the opportunity to speak. He says that you will be a deacon and you shall teach. So that's what I'm doing. I'm fulfilling my role as what Jesus does accordingly. Until that day he takes me away, I don't know what my mission is, and I live it day by day, and I continue to pray for you and yours and your family. But you have to understand, there is no such thing as fear, ladies and gentlemen. No such thing as fear. Because if you believe in Jesus, you should fear nothing. I know it's kind of hard for you to grasp that. And you're saying, well, George, you sound like you never get scared. Listen. When they come to things that I may feel like I'm scared about, the first thing I do is say Jesus, because I know the Holy Spirit will carry me through. I'm not saying that if a dog came at me barking and foaming at the mouth, that I won't be like, whoa, you know. But that's not fear. That's a little bit of a shock, you know. Being afraid, like being afraid of heights and being afraid of snakes and being afraid of a beast. I mean, listen. It took me a long time to get there, but listen, the only thing you should be afraid of is my wrath. So if you're afraid of dying, then Jesus really don't want you, don't really need you. Why? Because death is the celebration to go see him, not to be afraid of leaving your loved ones. If you love your loved ones will follow you to heaven. Now, I go back to the poor man and the rich man. When there was a gulf right there, when the poor man asked Abraham, could he give him a little drip of water on his tongue, and Abraham said no, he had his time. Look at that scripture, okay? When the poor man sat at the bottom at the king's table, dogs licking his sores and all this stuff, and he goes to heaven, and the ruler or the king dies and he goes to hell, and there's such a gulf there that he cannot pass. Abraham told him, even if you wanted to, you couldn't pass it. So what I'm simply saying is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a situation, we just got to understand, we got to ride that situation out. It's going to be bleak. Believe me, I got everything under the sun. I got PTSD, TBI, I got seasonal depression, I got, you know, my couple screws loose, whatever. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. My point is I got to ride it out. My family got to ride it out. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, do not let the sun go down with hate, wrath, or envy on your heart. Come on. You say, hey, George, that's not easy to do. Because, man, these people get on my nerves. Let's got to pray it out. One of your prayers say, Jesus, my flesh right now is weak and I feel angry. Talk to God. He's your Father. He understands you. He was in the flesh. He was in the flesh. He knows what it means to be human. He knows what it means to be spit on, degraded, called names, pulled hair, beaten, shipwrecked, hungry, thirsty, being stabbed, birds picking at him. He knows. When the last time you got whipped with the cat of nine tails? When the last time you got put on a head of thorns around your head? When was the last time you carried your own cross to hang yourself and be crucified? When was the last time? So when you think you got it rough, you think about Jesus and what he did to sacrifice. Because until you carry a 200-pound or more wooden cross from the bottom all the way up to a mountaintop, come on now. You listen, if you ain't never seen a mountain, if you have never seen a mountain, I would highly recommend some way, somehow, even if you got to take Greyhound, go see a mountain. Please go see a mountain. And if you can afford it and you're able to go to Jerusalem, take the track. Because Lord willing, one day my family going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to walk it. And we're going to show y'all how difficult it is to carry 200-pound wooden cross with the thorns on your head. You just got whipped with a cat of nine tails, and you got this itchy, woolly thing on your back cutting up in your flesh and your blood and your sweat. Okay. Carry your cross. That's all I'm going to say. Every day. The meaning for this show, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I play stuff like this with Alex and David Eicher, I'm not saying that I would agree with everything they're saying, and I'm not saying that you need to go buy his products and all that stuff. I really didn't want to play that part of it, but I just let it be because I didn't want to interrupt it. But my point is this, ladies and gentlemen, let me let you in into a little secret. Every month it comes out with a new pair of shoes. Every month, somebody come out with a new pair of pants. Every month, some designer come out with a new shirt. Every month, somebody comes out with a new video game. Every month, somebody comes out with a new TV. Every time you turn around, somebody come out with a new car. We are so busy working to buy things. Now, listen to what I'm saying. We are so busy working to buy things that about time we get to where we need to, it's going to be too late. And let me explain this to you, ladies and gentlemen. David, I said this last night, but I'm going to say it again. David Icke, at the beginning of the broadcast, he said, "Have you ever seen the whole Hunger Games? There's the super rich, and then there's the super poor. I mean, there is no middle class. This is why the Republicans and the Democrats always target the middle class. You have to understand the game. Republicans and Democrats don't give a crap about any of us. We're playing the game because the Constitution gives us the right to vote. And I'm not saying not going out to vote, because you need to vote. Because if we give up our liberties and our constitutional rights, it would be so easy for them to ransack us. But because we have people who fight for our rights and our Constitution, it's kind of hard for them to start picking. And that's why they have to make little bills that they sneak in, like the Monsanto's little scandal. I'll say something briefly about that, and I'll continue on my point. While we were busy fighting over whether gays should be married, and I'm not saying anything about homosexuals, what I'm saying is while the federal court was making the decision whether gays should be married legally in the states or not, Congress was voting on a budget bill that said that needed to go through, because if it didn't go through, the government would stop and cease to exist. Stop working, to shut down. So while we got other people fighting something that was civil liberties, they go in and sneak in the agricultural bill, the farmers bill. That's what I'm talking about. Go read. I don't take my word for it. Go read the bill that they passed. I think it's like HRC 33.7 or something like that. But anyway, so what they did was they put in a clause that said that Monsanto's could not be sued or brought to any court, even if the GMOs they find in their manufacturing to be harmful to humans, they could not be sued. And you don't think that we should be upset about that? People, you don't even get the clue. Let me, and I said I wasn't going to say much about it, but this one fires me up. Because now we're still talking about Paula Deen saying the nigger word. We got gays and lesbians trying to get married. But y'all fail to realize that Monsanto controls nearly every crop and genetically modified every pattern of seed there is on this planet. They have genetically modified. I'm not saying they got regular seeds. No. They have genetically changed it to mutate into something different, because the poisons that the farmers use, the pesticides they use to spray over it, needed to be adjusted so the crops wouldn't die when the pesticides hit them, right? Now, you can talk about organic all you want, every day, all day, and you said it's not. Listen, not unless you have got the original seed from a farmer who did not mess with a Monsanto's, that is organic food, ladies and gentlemen. So you have to check the label and find out where those foods come from. And if they say that they're organic, you do research on them. And I would guarantee you, some way down the line, Monsanto's or a company affiliated with Monsanto's have genetic, that's why it's called GMO, they genetically modified those organisms or the organism in order to make our food. So right now we're eating corn, but the corn is genetically modified. What does that do to us? Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to my Monsanto's thing, please go back. But I must say this thing, one thing, you don't know how many years they have been working on this since 1912, genetically modifying food with the Department of Agriculture to manipulate the food. Monsanto is the company itself. It was a newer company at that time. But so you mean to tell me that all the disease that people are starting to get, not only did we know that, now we know lead was bad for us. Lead was around holding our food in containers. We know that asbestos, all these things that we now know that were dangerous for us and continue to be there, guess where all our foods were being held? And you don't think that would create a modification in our genealogy that can be passed on to our children? You think obesity, this is the thing they said now, that obesity is now a disease. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you why they classify it as a disease. Just like alcoholism is hereditary, do you not believe that they modify that in order to make that the gene, thyroid gland, all of a sudden start to have defects in most people and weight is being gained? They put steroids in the cows and the pigs and the sheep and everything that is meat that we eat. They super inject the chickens where they can't, Tyson chicken, their chickens are so fat they can't even walk. You don't believe me? There's a movie called Food Incorporated, Food Inc. It's on Netflix. It's on the internet. You can find it on YouTube. Go look at it if you haven't seen it, please, because you would have a different look at your food. Okay? And so this is what I'm trying to relate to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the rabbit hole goes so much deeper than what you think it is. If you think that George Beverly is just letting people talk about all kinds of stuff about devil worshiping and blood this and, you know, the negative vibrations in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, there is more than one way to skin a cat. More than one way. You see, the devil's already got his plan. Do you have your plan? Do you think you're strong enough, rich enough, fast enough to outmaneuver the government? Do you know right now that the drones are flying over America right now? If they choose to bomb my apartment, because I'm talking the truth right now, they would feel it's justified because they would make it up. We could go back to the Patriot Act. Okay, we go back straight to the back. We could talk about the Foreign International Foreign Intelligence Surveying Act of 1974 that we talked about. See, all this stuff is interconnected. This is why David Icke was talking about the web, the spider in the web. Even if the web in the center is really tight, when you look at the expansion of that web, I'm telling you this. You need to go to theyrule.org, T-H-E-Y, rule, R-U-L-E.org, or .net, and see, type in a name that you know in the government and find out who they're connected to and what they're connected to, and you would be surprised of how many government officials right now are connected to a company of their interest. And six degrees of separation. So this is why I try to do my best to inform you on all levels, all things. I don't specifically just talk about Illuminati, because Illuminati don't have nothing to do with that. They're just the henchmen for the devil. Yeah, we got 13 ruling classes, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Oprah Winfrey is rich. Michael Jackson was rich. All you billionaires out there are rich. But wealthy, when you're wealthy, you have power. And that's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. Are you powerful enough to eliminate those people who got control? Because they sit back. They don't have to be in the front. No, no. You watch movies all the time. You watch movies all the time about how they get hitmen to do the dirty work, so the hitman dies. Hey, ain't no blame on them. It won't get traced back to them. Why do you think the mob was so successful? They let the mob do whatever they want. Why? Because they were eliminating people that they needed them to eliminate. And then at that point, they let them do, they get away with certain things. You see what I'm saying? Even Dick Gregory, I played on my show before. Dick Gregory was assigned to be assassinated by then the former CIA president, J. Edgar Hoover, which was our president. The same one who was trying to eliminate the black movement, the civil rights movement, with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Panthers, the brown and gray, the brown and red organization, Cesar Chavez, all those people he was trying to eliminate. Ladies and gentlemen, the web goes very far. And if you let that black widow spider continue to live, it's going to bite your children. Oh, we could die and pass away, and we all have parental instincts. We want our children to be protected. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not stand today, if you don't stand on the side of justice, and I don't care if justice, what you think is justice, I'm talking about the justice of Jesus. I wish I had more time to tell you, but I can tell you tomorrow. You have to stand up for justice. You have to stand up for Jesus. Now, when it comes to the gay and lesbian thing, this is my stance. I'm going to tell you right now. A lot of people know my stance. I do not care if you're gay or lesbian. Don't bother me, not one bit. Not one bit at all. I don't care if you get married. Don't got nothing to do with me. Nothing. My job for me to do is to love you and encourage you to believe in Jesus. Whatever that is it. I'm not judging you. How can I be the first one to cast the stone? When Jesus told that, when they was about to stone Mary Magdalene, the Sadducees and Pharisees put down them stones. Okay, because he knew what's going on. So we shouldn't go around judging people because of their opinions or what they say. Listen, if you want to get on somebody and rebuke somebody, how about getting down to something that's real? And how do we stop these people? We got to pray, we got to organize, and we got to stand strong. Because when the middle class goes away, I'm telling you, listen to this. When the middle class goes away, this is why the Republicans and the Democrats fight so hard to keep the middle class. Once the middle class disappears, you will see the huge gap between the very wealthy and the very poor. And when you have to be in the very poor and you're scratching to get to back up to the very wealthy and you're on the verge of getting there, you slide back down and you become poor just like the people in the Hunger Games, and you've got to fight for your life, for entertainment, like we're back in Rome or we're back in Greece, we're in the Colosseum. You remember 300? Well, Gladiator, we glorify that stuff, but you have to understand the plight. One day that could be your children fighting for their lives. We're spending billions of dollars sending probes into space. Have we ever been back to the moon? When the last time we've been to the moon? Shouldn't we be at the moon right now? Shouldn't we be doing something on the moon? I mean, it's the closest thing to Earth that I know of. I mean, maybe there is another moon somewhere. Listen, we cannot be ignorant to what's going on. When I was in the Army and they talk about a hammer $15 or whatever, y'all don't even know okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to pull up the article tomorrow and I'll tell you about it. There was an engineering contractor who has worked with the United States government, a Corps of Engineers, for 20 years. He retired and then he came back. He stole over $4 billion from the United States Engineer Corps. He went to jail. But that is the money that you were paying on your tax dollars thinking that they were doing their jobs in the first place. But no, he was a private contractor. That's why I was talking to you, ladies and gentlemen, about private contracting and public contracting in the government. There's money being wasted everywhere. It doesn't matter who's in the president's seat, who's in charge of the Senate, who's in charge of the House. It don't matter, y'all. What matters, you don't think that we can get something done? We got people starving. We got people homeless. We got people who don't have jobs. We need to focus on that. We need to focus on getting our water clean. We need to focus on getting us alternative energy so we don't have to depend on oil. There's a lot of people who've been engineering things on the down low scientifically. But what they do is they destroy them, destroy the patterns, and then they take them, and then they remodify them to benefit a specific population. They aim all these gadgets at teenagers and children. Why? Because they got money to burn. Kids got cell phones. They got iPods. They got iMac. They got iKids. They got all this stuff that their parents are busting their butts to make sure that they have. Writing bad checks, living lavish lives. Knowing, matter of fact, this is the first thing that pops in my mind. Beverly Hills wives, Taylor. I don't know her last name. Armstrong, Taylor Armstrong. She gave her five-year-old daughter a $50,000 birthday. $50,000 for her birthday? Okay. I want y'all to go revisit that episode. I give my condolence to her for the passing of her husband. But they were so financially strapped that she could not afford to purchase that type of thing. Living with against the Joneses. Listen, those women on Beverly Hills, Monica and Lisa, those people got money. Okay? They got money. So, you know, we have to reprioritize. We need to start saving for survival. And if you want to go buy the products from Alex's place, then I'm not saying that you need to. There are other entities where you can go and get that stuff. But you got to do research on what you purchase. Okay? Think about the calamities that you could face that we know of. We know that they have UV rays. We know they have microwave capability. We know that they have night vision. They can, you know, they can see through, penetrate through the earth. That kind of stuff. And I know y'all thinking I'm crazy, but if you read Revelations, you read the Mark of the Beast, it's going to be a scary point in time. Either you're going to serve the devil, are you going to serve Jesus? You ain't going to be able to do both. Because what happened to Stephen, he was stoned to death in the street talking about Jesus. They were just throwing stones at him. My name is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums. And the next time I see you, you should be sounding off. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow.